everybody came out tonight.
I feel like my team is probably going to go undefeated this year. Yeah, I do feel like I got pretty much all the good players.
You're calling undefeated season for Caddyshack Williams.
Yes, that's correct. It's like when Joe Namath guaranteed the Super Bowl. Did he really know that they were going to win? I mean, let's be real, no. But did he have, you know, a 99% sure feeling? Yeah, he did. And so do I. Yeah. My biggest bad emotion. This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now.
Transition to a Lamborghini from a Mustang. Drug sling in the drug game with the hustling. One thing. Anything is better than that.
You're the best podcast guy in the biz, man. What we're here for. Hey, it's great to be back on your wonderful podcast.
This is the Semi-Pro Ducks Fantasy Football Podcast. Here's your commissioner, Rick.
Ah, yes. Welcome back. I am your league commissioner and host of the Semi-Pro Ducks Podcast. Today, another very special edition of the podcast. We are revealing the draft order. The draft is, of course, the big event on the schedule for the league. It started out as a day and then a weekend and now almost a week. And I'm sure in 3 years we're just going to be living together and it's going to be draft weekend every weekend. The draft is a big deal. Not only do we have the Rammering Cup events that are woven in, we've got trash talking strategy in the longest 4 hours of our lives. And we are finally progressing through with the draft reveal. We are upping ourselves constantly. In the past, we've gone Periscope, Facebook Live, PowerPoints. Last year, we actually did a live drawing when everybody was in town. This year, we're doing the pod. Now, I know at this point you might be a little skeptical about not being able to see my balls. We've covered that. I'm going to give you a video that will show me taking out my balls so you will see that the draft is not rigged. I'm not rigging my balls around here like we have the past 5 years. As you can hear laughing in the background at a very immature balls joke, that is our co-commissioner Pip, who will be giving us actual anal ISIS as opposed to whatever crap I'm going to spew out. Pip, welcome back to our first ever draft pod.
Yeah, it's great to be back on our first ever draft pod. Happy to be back on the air with you, Rick. I think everybody's going to be surprised by this, and happy that they're finally getting a draft order. And who better to reveal the draft order and to analyze the draft order than the two biggest draft fans and enthusiasts, you and I.
Yeah, we love drafts. They're always fun.
I watched all 7 rounds of the NFL draft. I didn't get up off the couch. I just loved it. I didn't take my eyes off the screen.
You can't.
And, you know, I couldn't now that it's over. But I've just really haven't stopped studying where all the players are going, who's got the best draft, who's got the worst draft. And really, I think I know how these teams are going to do for the next 15 years now.
Absolutely. Everything is, it's a guarantee when Mel Kiper Jr. says it. If he says it, it's fact, and that's pretty much the end of it. So
exactly.
So Rammering Cup, can you give us any update as to the scoring for the Rammering Cup? Have you worked on that at all?
I have not done any scoring. Mike and I are going to be working on that, but Mike obviously has been busy in law school, so we haven't really been able to do much. In terms of Rammering Cup preparation, we are going to definitely remove Dizzy Bat and include Presidents in some way, shape, or form.
Ooh.
And also the Rage Cage event will be silent with less cups. I think we've agreed on that also. And then we do need to kind of hash out the scoring for all the events. So... And also with a Flip Cup, we've decided that instead of having two teams for a set amount of time, we're going to do 13 or 14 rounds, depending on how many people are at draft weekend, and we just move one spot each time around, moving in a clockwise or counterclockwise circle, whichever way we want to do it. So every game is going to be a different team. So except for obviously the middle game, but yeah, those are the big Rammer and Cup updates. But also, I think we were all very excited to have a new member in the group, not the league itself, but that Eddie's going to be there, Edward Grog. I think he's going to be a fun addition to the weekend.
Yeah, and we'll maybe get one more extra listener on the podcast, boost this up from around 11 to 12. So I like that.
Yeah, and Eddie can introduce us to Chicago and the Florida markets, which we haven't been able to tap into as much as I'd like.
Yeah, just but, Russia, apparently.
Yeah, just Russia. But it should be a good time. I think I'm most probably looking forward to the opening ceremony roast where we just tear Eddie apart.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Literally or just with words?
We might pull off a limb or two.
Okay, that'll be cool. I'll bring a little tarp so the cleanup's easier on the Davies family.
Great. We're definitely going to shave his hair off, too.
Ooh, yes. I'm in on that. I'll bring my clippers.
Yeah.
All right. So we've talked about last season with our award show. I think we can get out to whipping out my balls here. As always, I have my bingo machine with me. I'm actually going to, after I read out the order 1 through 12, I will start the video. So if you want a little multicast, you'll be able to hear one half of the pod while listening to it as well. I have the bingo machine. Our order is of the finishing order of the 2017 season, and here's how the balls fall for the bingo in 2018. Number 12 is Duncan. He is our toilet bowl champion, stand-up comedian, amateur, and soon to be releasing his first solo EP. 11 is Scott, the rode the number one fantasy player in 2017 to an 11th place finish. Number 10 is Pip, our co-commissioner, made arguably the worst trade of the year and missed the playoffs by 3 games. Number 9.
That's a very strong argument.
Yeah. Number 9, Andrew, spent most of 2017 juggling being a doctor for the LA Galaxy and a fantasy GM. Number 8, Brandon, multitasking king who spends more time skiing than writing the waiver wire. Number 7 is Jared, the steady hand in the league, but the also most disappointing team in 2017, looking for a bounce back year. In number 6, our playoff team's Mike. He was our league lawyer. He gave us some terrible legal advice, but he did make the playoffs. Number 5, Tim. He had a very normal finish for a very normal team. Number 4, Luke. He is our fantasy ringer, and it doesn't matter where he picks, he's going to make the playoffs. That's pretty much a guarantee. Number 3, Rick. Myself, fucked myself over better than anyone last year. Would have won the league. I just don't like Alex Smith's dumb elf face. Number 3, Jordan, host of Bug Talk. He used his podcast host Karma to ride a second place finish. And our champion was Nick. He won the Rammering Cup, won the league title, GM of the year. The Eagles won the Super Bowl. I literally don't think he could have had a better season. So, I now take a breath, and I will now start. Oop, I took a picture. Now I will start the video. So again, if you didn't write it down, there is our ball order I have written down on this legal pad. Over here, oh, I gotta bring the mic with me, Rick. Over here, we have our bingo machine. The balls are in it, 1 through 12. Give those a little mixeroo. And here we go. So this is going to be the 2018 draft order and pick number 12 coming up. All right. First ball is out. And the 12th pick is going to be B9, which is Andrew. Andrew gets the 12th pick of the draft. I guess, Pip, if you could write this down for me.
I'm writing it down.
Okay. Sorry, didn't show the mixing. With the 11th pick. B12. B12 is Duncan. So Duncan, Andrew at the bottom of the draft here. And the 10th pick. B3. Oh, that's me. All right. I get the 10th pick in the draft.
It's not rigged.
I, as always, I rig it just enough so I can make sure that I get Julio Jones. I think I did that again. into the top 10. B8. Brandon?
Yep.
Brandon. Look at that. I almost remember the draft order. Next up. B4. That's Luke. Oh, the Colorado boys drafting together. Keep forgetting to show the mixing. Next up. B5. Tim. Normal finish, a normal pick in the draft. Next up, B11 is Scott. Scott moves into the top half of the draft. A little ways to go here. B10 is Pip. Right?
Yep.
Yeah, Pip. The top five pick. So here you go. Final four. Who is left? Have you marked this off? I think there's...
Yes, we have Jared, Mike, Jordan, and Fronik remaining.
Oh, boy. Fronik gets the number one pick and winning everything else. Like, get fucked, dude. fourth pick in the draft. B7. Jared. Final three. Oh, lots of mixing. Can't find a ball. We found my ball. B2. Jordan. The third pick in the draft. So
you've got to be kidding me. if Fronik gets the first overall pick, this is going to be wild.
We're revealing two, and then obviously the last one is one, right?
Correct. Rick, you ask that every single draft, and yeah, we do it the same way every time.
I always think there'd be more tension if we, you know, listed number one first kind of thing. I don't know. So it's Fronik and...
Mike.
Oh, boy. Oh, geez. Okay. For the number two pick. Oh, one. They fell out. One fell out. Oh, no. We gotta start over. We gotta
that's
start
a rig.
We gotta start over. We gotta start over. Oh, geez. I got to put the video down. Oh, boy. I'm unrigging it. Okay. Here we go. There it is. The number two pick. And the number one pick. B1. Fronik gets the number two pick in the draft, leaving our lawyer Mike the number one overall pick at this year's upcoming draft. There we go. We've made it official. Knocked it around a little bit. And there you have it. B6. Mike, lawyered up, gets the number one pick. Congratulations, everybody. There's your final order. Going to stop the video there. I really hope it's saved. If not, you're just going to have to trust me on this one. It did. Okay. Woo.
Perfect.
All right. So read back the draft order to me, since you are the one who wrote it down.
All right, so the semi-products draft order starts with number one, drafting first overall, Michael Schmidt. Number two, last year's defending champion, Nick Fronik. Number three, Jordan Archer. Number four, Jared Cook. Number five, myself, Pip. Number six, Scott. Number seven, Tim. Number eight, Lucas. Number nine, Brandon. Number 10, Rick. Number 11, Duncan. And number 12, Andrew. That is your draft order for the first round, and then snaked after that for the second round.
Wow. All right. Well, there we have it. And I guess since we're here, we talked about drafts and doing drafts. You want to do a mock draft?
I think we should maybe go through some some of these picks here. I think before we get to that, just some analysis that's very interesting. Andrew got the 12th pick in last year's draft, and now once again is drafting 12th overall.
You're welcome.
Mike, the biggest mover, he went from 11 last year to number 1. Phronix moved up from 7 to 2. Jordan was 9, and he moved up to 2, or 3, sorry. Jared had a second overall pick last year, and now he's picking 4th, so another good position for him. But Rick, you went from 4th to 10th. Duncan, he drafted 3rd last year, and now he's 11th, so he's probably going to be disappointed in that.
Could still take Marshawn Lynch in the first round.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And Tim, he was 8th last year, and now he's 7th. So another difficult position for Tim. I think those 6 through 9 or 10 picks are always some of the harder picks because all the players start blending together around then. As after the clear-cut top, however many you think.
Right.
The top picks. So let's go through the well, first of all, what do you think of your draft position, Rick?
As always, I've tried to rig this so I can make sure that I've got a good chance at getting Julio Jones in the first round. I've looked at a couple Fantasy Pros mocks and just run through the first couple round simulations. He's been going in the 9 through 12 range, so I think I rigged that perfectly for me. I like that I've got Andrew and Duncan behind me. Just because, as we noted last year, Duncan, not the best drafter, so I think when things snake around, I might have some players fall my way. I don't know. It should be interesting. I'm glad I'm not directly behind Luke, because I'm sure he would pull some players that I like right out in front of me. I think I'm in a good spot. What about you?
Well, I was getting excited there when I moved into the top half. I'm happy with 5. I can go wrong at 5. So I'm pretty happy with it to begin with. It's never the first round where I fuck up. It's always the 5th through the 10th. So
right when Dez is available.
Yeah, right when Dez should be available. So that's where I'll go wrong. But, yeah, anyway, let's do a mock each.
Okay.
So, who do you think Mike is going to be taking first overall?
Well, the top two projected players are Gurley and Bell. I think he goes Le'Veon Bell. I think he takes a risk and he takes Bell there. I'm going to go Le'Veon Bell number 1 overall.
Is that really a risk?
Yes, huge risk. Because Gurley's,
what's the risk?
Well, Gurley's a lock number 1. You're taking a guy who's a not a lock number 1 overall player first overall, so that's a big risk.
He's not a lock number 1 overall player?
No, Gurley is a lock number 1 overall player, and he's taking Bell instead, so that's the risk.
Why is Gurley a lock number 1 overall player?
Because that's where he's projected. So if you're projected 1, you're a lock number 1.
And you're not a lock, though.
I'm guaranteeing it.
You're guaranteeing Todd Gurley to be number 1 player overall?
Yeah, because that's what he's projected. I just don't see how you're not following along here.
Well, I mean, I just think you're going. I just don't trust you. Anyway, I think Mike will actually go Gurley and not Le'Veon Bell, because I think Mike knows that Todd Gurley plays for a team in L.A., and Mike used to live in L.A., so I think Mike goes Gurley number 1 overall.
Who do you have for only taking 2?
The person probably that wasn't picked first overall, Phronix will take. So if Mike takes Gurley, like he will in my situation or simulation, then I think Bell will go second to Phronix.
Yeah, I guess I'll have Gurley go second then, since Bell's going first in my mock. And then third, Jordan, I think he's gonna go Antonio Brown here. I don't think he wants to take a risk with Zeke. I think he wants to go with a wide receiver, a guy who's gonna get a ton of volume. Again, a half PPR league. Brown was the number 2 wide receiver last year, I believe. So I think Jordan goes wide receiver third overall.
Yeah, you see, I'm going to have to disagree with you there because Jordan does tend to go running backs first overall. Last year, he went with Melvin Gordon in the first round with the ninth pick, and I think he will go running back in the first round and then go receiver in the second, whether that be a guy like Mike Evans or Devontae Adams, Thielen, Tyreek Hill, I don't know. But in the first round, I think Jordan is going to go Zeke at the third overall pick.
And Jared, four, who do you got there?
Jared at four, I think David Johnson is a risk coming off the injuries, so I think Jared goes Antonio Brown at four.
See, I think because Jared had Johnson last year and missed out on him with the injury, I think he goes DJ four.
That's a good point.
I think he would want to get that year back. So,
well, Jared didn't draft David Johnson. He drafted Le'Veon Bell.
That's true.
So it was Scott who had David Johnson and missed out on him.
That's very true. I messed that one.
Yeah. So are you going to stick with David Johnson?
I sure am, because Jared picked him last year.
Okay. That I like your logic, Rick.
Thanks. Now we jump to you at five. So I've got some interesting players available for you here. We've had a run on running backs. I've got Zeke Elliott falling to you at five. I think you do like picking Cowboys who end up not performing. So I think you're going to take Zeke Elliott, who is going to be in the situation where they run the ball into the end zone instead of yelling at them for not throwing it to Dez Bryant. So I'll have you take Zeke Elliott at five.
Well, I mean, I would be definitely happy with another Cowboy, because I don't know why I like drafting Cowboys, but I don't like the Cowboys, but I tend to have a thing for them. I always draft them. But in my mock, I mean, it's tough at this point. It's for me in this mock draft, I would be probably deciding between David Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, Kamara, or Beckham. Odell Beckham. I would have cut it down to those four. And it's tough, but I don't think I could pass up on David Johnson at that spot and go with a wide receiver just based on this initial look at it. So I think I would go David Johnson with the fifth overall pick right there.
Yeah. And then six, Scott. In my mock draft, a lot of wide receivers coming up here that are on the board. I think Scott goes DeAndre Hopkins here, as he did last year, because I know Scott drafted DeAndre Hopkins, as he did David Johnson, even though Jared drafted David Johnson last year. So I'm going to go DeAndre Hopkins six.
Yeah, I could see that again. Hopkins, was he the number one receiver last year?
Yes.
It just still blows my mind that how bad Scott's team was, but also how good it could have been. I mean, those top five picks of Johnson, Gurley, Hopkins, Olsen, well, maybe not top five because the fifth pick was Willie Snead, but but the top four picks were pretty darn good. So I think Scott does go Hopkins here with the sixth overall pick.
Wow, we agree on something. That's nice.
I know. That's wild.
It's nice.
Now we move on to
more.
Tim. So Tim has the seventh pick, and I think he does what he did last year, and he goes Alvin Kamara. Now, last year he got him in the 13th round he drafted Alvin Kamara. So 13 rounds early, Tim is going to take Alvin Kamara with the seventh overall pick.
I agree as well. I think he's, especially with Mark Ingram being suspended those first 4 weeks, Kamara is going to be a monster, and we definitely don't want Kamara falling to Tim at to Luke at the eight spot. So yeah, Kamara seven to Tim, I think makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, yep, I would agree with that. All right, on to Luke.
So. So Luke here has Odell Beckham, who he picked last year. He's also got Jones, Fournette, Thomas, some other guys he might want to reach on. I think he goes Beckham again. I think the injury cost Odell a little bit of his time. He ended up trading for Antonio Brown, so he just, you know, switched him out, still had an extremely good team. But I think Odell is going to be the guy here at eight.
Yeah, I think he will go Odell because Julio does have the problem with he didn't score that many touchdowns last year, did he?
No, he had.
Whereas
it was all yards and catches every now and then, and then the occasional touchdown.
Yeah, so I think Luke does go Odell here. Obviously, it's kind of risky. We don't know which Eli Manning is going to show up. They now have a running back, so that might take away from the passing game. But I would see Luke not wanting to pass up on the value that Odell Beckham has. So I think Luke will take Austin's favorite player, OBJ, right there at the eighth overall pick.
At nine, Brandon. I am going to go a little wild here. I think he takes a reach and goes Michael Thomas. I don't know
why. Why do you think that?
I don't know why. I just think he's going to go for a wide receiver here. He doesn't trust Julio because I want Julio to fall to me. Michael Thomas was a huge weapon last year in New Orleans. Again, no Ingram. I think it's going to be more pass happy because Kamara's more of a pass catching back than a running backs, and New Orleans just likes to throw the ball a ton. So Michael Thomas, nine for me for Brandon.
That's interesting. I can't see. I mean, Brandon, he took Freeman last year, so maybe he likes Falcons a lot. But I just have this feeling that Brandon really likes Julio Jones. So I think I can't see Brandon passing up on Julio at that situation.
Damn.
I mean, I can just envision him drafting him right now in the living room. So I'm taking Brandon to take Julio Jones, ninth overall. So that leads us to your pick, Rick, at number 10. So Julio is off the board, and now you have a choice of a guy like Michael Thomas, who I can't see you taking because he is a saint.
Yes, that's very true.
But you had success with Ingram last year, and he was a saint.
That is true.
But Kareem Hunt, AJ Green, Keenan Allen, I don't know. I can't see you taking any of those. So maybe what I see you doing is going for a big reach and picking Fournette here at 10, since you really liked him last year. So I'm gonna go different here just to make it interesting and say that you're not going to take Hunt or Thomas, Green, or Allen and go Fournette and hope that one of those guys is back around when you pick again in five picks. So Fournette for you, Rick.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think if Julio falls, that would be a player I would definitely consider. But in my mock draft, Julio fell to me, so I'm taking Julio at 10. Obviously, he's the greatest wide receiver on the planet. Don't at me, bro. But yeah, Fournette is definitely a possibility, a guy I really liked, and that Jacksonville offense with the 70th best quarterback in the NFL running it. You know, they're going to be a run happy team again, and I think Fournette, his second year, is going to avoid the sophomore slump. I do like him this year, but in my mock draft, Julio falls to me. I take Julio, which leads us to 11 with Duncan. Duncan's draft strategy is extremely strange. It makes no sense at all, which for me means that he's going to try and make sense and be a little bit better this year. And in my mock draft, Kareem Hunt's available, so I think he goes Kareem Hunt there.
All right, that's fair. That's fair enough. I think Duncan, yeah, he'll play it by the book here. I think he'll be looking at a couple guys. I think he'll have Robert Woods lined up, maybe Darius Geis, and I don't know, maybe Juju Smith-Schuster, Carson Wentz. I think those guys are all going to be on the top of Duncan's draft board. Huh?
Rashad, the Seahawks rookie running back out of San Diego State. I think it's Rashad Penny.
Yeah, that's actually where I was going to go. I think Duncan might reach a lot on Rashad Penny. So I'm either 50-50, Duncan takes Rashad Penny, or he takes Michael Thomas. But it's going to be one of the two. So I'm thinking he's going to take Michael Thomas, actually.
Yeah. Better head for Jerry.
Better head for Jerry's, smarter heads prevail. Maybe that's it.
Maybe.
But Michael Thomas for Duncan, if he ever shows up to draft weekend and does his stand-up.
Yeah, if not, I think we might have to take his first-round pick away.
Yeah, he'll be so shook from doing the stand-up that he's just completely lost his head and he drafts Sean Alexander or someone, some Seahawk that retired.
That would be an incredibly horrible last place punishment as well, as losing your number one overall pick.
That would be bad. It would be pretty unfair. Forcing you to draft a retired player? I don't know.
You have to take Terrell Owens within the first three rounds. Because there's always that guy at the very bottom who's just not, just for some reason, has been almost in the Hall of Fame now. But he's still eligible. Pick him up.
Yeah. I'm forced to draft Johnny Unitas first overall. And then Fran Tarkenton at the turn.
Oh, that'd be great. This is something we should do. Last pick of the first round, ending our mock draft. It's Andrew, no longer our lone Clippers fan. I think he goes Melvin Gordon. I think there's a good Clipper on the board. He's going to take him.
Well, I think he'll go double Clipper here at the turn and go Keenan Allen first and then Melvin second. Either way, Andrew is in great position to get as many Clippers as possible.
But, that is true.
I'm going to go Keenan. I mean, it doesn't really matter who he picks first there.
Right.
But, yeah, that is my first-round mock. He could take AJ Green, but I think he'll want to pick a Clipper.
Yeah, I think Melvin Gordon as well, who was just a monster last year. I don't see him falling out of the first round.
Either way. True.
I think if Jordan picked a lot lower in the first round, it might be Jordan's pick again because he loves Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, that's very true. He does love Melvin. You notice Jordan always calls the players by their first name if he really likes them.
He does?
Yeah, he does.
I have not noticed that.
Yeah, he does.
Huh. Interesting.
It's pretty. Yeah, you'll notice it.
Okay, I'll keep an eye out for that. So that wraps up our mock draft, our draft order. We always end podcasts with segments. You had a couple segments, so what do you have for me?
All right, my first one is catching feels.
Oh no. Oh god. The settings on the computer want me to play something, I guess.
Oh god.
Oh, is it ready? There's no need to clarify.
Oh no.
Just let it grow more and more each day.
You can edit it's in the like sound. I married thing my after. Best
friend, but in it's a totally manly
way. Let's go. Catching feels.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I can go now?
Yeah. We'll edit this. I'll edit this to make it better, I think.
Okay. Great radio. My catching feels is Sonny Michel, the running back who went to New England. You just know he's going to be damn good.
Michel.
Is it pronounced Michel?
Yes. That's a fine.
Sonny Michel. Sonny Michel, the first ever French player in the NFL, but I think he'll be really good for the Pats. You just know it.
Yeah, he was on Sports Talk with Steve Tannen. Listen to it weekdays from 3 to 6 p.m. and online at 953thescore.com. Sonny Michel was one of my three draft locks that I picked this year that I think is going to have a really good career. Maybe not a good rookie year, but I think in 2-3 years he's going to be a really good running back for them.
Yeah, for sure. Belichick is going to mold him into the best player in the world.
Very true. What else do you have for me?
I got a Who Do You Love? It's Who Do You Love. It's Who Do You Love. Dun dun. Dun dun. Anyway. It's going to be the drafted quarterbacks. Which one do you think has the best fantasy season, initial season, and then second question, which one has the best fantasy career? So that's it's just first round quarterbacks, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Josh Jackson, Josh Darnold, or Josh Mayfield.
I'm going to answer your second question first. I think the best career is going to be Josh Rosen. I think he's going to be set up well long-term in Arizona, learning from Sam Bradford, hopefully learning how to not tear his ACL every other year or every year. But I think he can learn a lot from Bradford. He can learn a lot from Larry Fitzgerald. They have time where they can add in more weapons around him. They've already got David Johnson. I think that's a great spot for him. Rookie season, I think I would avoid all of them like the plague, mostly because I don't think many of them are going to start. Maybe Josh Darnold, just because it's the Jets. Something feels like he's going to end up being the starter pretty early, so I think he's going to have the best season, but I wouldn't necessarily bank on him being a good fantasy option this year.
Yeah, I think I agree with you that Josh Darnold will be the best quarterback this season. I kind of like Josh Jackson over the career. I think Baltimore has always been a very solid organization, and they always have a really good defense, so he won't have to do that much. So he might have the most success in Baltimore once he gets play time, and they can build around him. I mean, we saw what – who's Houston's quarterback?
Deshaun Watson.
Oh, yeah, Josh Watson. We saw what he did last year, and he was really good. So I think that maybe Baltimore will kind of try and copy what Houston did. And I'm going to go with Jackson as the best guy over the course of their career. Hot take.
Yeah, plus those rushing yards, too.
Huh? Yeah, plus the rush, exactly. Now for who do you love, second one. Who do you love, law school versus med school? Who's going to do better this year, Andrew or Mike?
Oh, this is very interesting because Andrew's actually going to be in med school trying to be a doctor, even though he hasn't been a doctor. Mike's already got the year of experience, though, so he's a sophomore law student. I'm going to go with Mike here. I think he had the better finish last year juggling things around. I think he's gonna be able to replicate that again. I think another 6th, 7th place finish for Mike, well, depending on the draft, I think would be very good for him balancing law school with the draft. I think better than Andrew is going to be able to handle it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think, it would be amazing if Andrew were to make it to draft weekend. Obviously, would love to have him there, but I really think Mike, especially now that he has the first overall pick, will definitely be in better position to have a better season. So I'm going to go law school also. Like you said, he has the year under his belt practicing and balancing the workload. And yeah, I think, but then again, Andrew's going to be living with Jordan. That might help him stay on top of things and give him incentive to beat someone like Jordan.
Ooh,
so
that is true.
You know,
I'm sticking law school.
I'm going to stick with law school, but I think that gives Andrew, it's a lot harder when you're isolated away from any other team or league members to succeed because you're kind of more away from it. But he's going to be seeing Jordan every day, and Jordan's going to be coming in with a big smile. He's like, oh my God, AJ Green caught me a touchdown in 76 yards yesterday. Oh my God, he's the best player ever. And then his starting running back is going to break his leg, and Andrew's going to be so just competitive that he's going to want to beat Jordan and just shove it down his throat when Jordan always shoves it down everybody else's throat.
I like in that situation that they're talking about fantasy on Monday because they're not actually hanging out and watching football on Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I was just looking through some of the draft player names, and they're pretty interesting. The guys that were drafted this year.
Mm-hmm.
There were three different types of Deshaun. There was Deshaun, which is Daesean, who was drafted 113th overall, and then 114th overall was Dashawn, D-A-apostrophe-S-H-A-W-N. And then there was a guy in the much later rounds called Dashawn, which was D-E-S-H-O-N. There's a wide receiver for Green Bay called Jamon Moore, J-apostrophe-M-O-N, which is just weird. It's like he's like Jamaican. Jamon Moore.
Jamon.
I don't know. Jamon. Then there's Jawan, J-A-apostrophe-W-H-A-U-N. Jawan Bentley, he plays for New England, so he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Remember the name. And Equiminius St. Brown, the guy from Notre Dame who went to Green Bay.
Equiminius?
Equiminius.
Wow.
Equinimius. Yeah, he sounds like a diseased horse, but he's got a great name. So,
interesting.
Yeah, just some interesting observations that I had.
All right. Speaking of names, our 2018 team name thing is household items. If you can see it in your house, apartment, or office living space, turn it in that thing into a team name that will work. Pip and I have come up with a grand list of examples, ones you can steal or use on your own if you like. So let's just bounce back and forth here between them. My first one is William the Refrigerator Perry.
AJ Greenhouse.
Clinton Carportis.
DIY Hilton.
Mattress Ryan.
Kellen Dorr.
Jay Cutlery.
Bed Ginn.
I was going to try so hard not to laugh. I can't do it. Alejandro Villa Nueva.
That's creative. Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, no. I'm crying.
Got him.
Vase Keenum. Or Adam Vase.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. Frank Floor.
Forrest Lamp.
Drawer Breeze.
Oh, no. Jake Butt Plug.
Jarvis Laundry.
Trent Dildofer.
Darn, I left the stove on Diggs.
Nah.
Okay.
For any team that's in last place, Doormat, or last place Matt, and then just any last name with somebody named Matt.
Chair Walsh.
Oh, another kicker. This is good timing. Robbie Goldbond.
All right, and then my last one is Futon Brady.
Devin Chester.
I got that one.
Oh, okay. Mandolin Swan.
What is a mandolin?
Well, there's the cooking item that's like a flat board that you like slice things on, and then it's also like a little guitar. Either one works. Mandolin Swan. Sean Witherspoon. And last one is Tim Couch.
Oh, I wrote that one down, too.
Nice. Okay, well, thank you for putting up with me laughing so hard that I almost peed my pants. I hope everyone enjoyed it. Enjoy the draft order. I'll be posting the video in the comments so you'll see my balls and how it wasn't rigged. Thank you so much for listening, everybody, to the first ever draft order reveal pod for the Semi Pro Ducks Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Rick, and that's Pip. Thank you so much for listening, and can't wait for draft weekend.
Bye.